that we have all felt with your coming child, a web of children, a web of people struggling, a web of sky and summer, and all our healthy, beautiful children. It's a web of earth. Ben and Betty Tolson, they have a new baby named Naomi. They seem to have a wonderful life. We spend an evening there, and this is the cream of our conversation. If you hear a static.
We just had a big campfire.
We interrupt here to interview Bernice about her memories of when she used to take care of Rachel and Deborah, and we were the fair ages of 30 and Bernice was 35. Very handsome women.
You don't go home and start to change your life, but that's why you wouldn't let her be out much longer, because you've seen her so much, you know.
Yeah.
Well, those nurses, they didn't want to eat together or something, because they tipped the spaghetti right over to her, and the other one did, you know. Yeah, they tipped it right over to her, and I said, why is this, Rachel? Oh, she doesn't want to eat, and she don't want to eat. Yeah. So I said, my goodness, come on, take your best now. I said, you have to take your best. You look just awful. I said, with that spaghetti on here, what if somebody comes in here? Yeah, I said, what if your grandson comes in now and say, all right, we'll be washed. And so I washed them all up out there and put up the soup for a nap. And then, afternoon after the nap, we went out for the sunshine, out of the zoo where they used to have those animals there. After I took them out there to the zoo, you know, down to see the animals, Well, they loved it so about the animals, live tigers and everything else, so I put them on the swing, you know. And they had about 3 swings there, and they just loved the swings. And they loved the seats very much, too, and if they loved the seats so much, I used to sit and sit by the hour then if they liked it, you know. So then I put them on the swing, but they cared just for nothing very much, but to sit and watch the animals and the grass and the river, you know, most of all. So I had to just take their hands, each of them, and get out that park somehow, you know, because they liked the green coolness. Then we went across the bridge. It was just terribly hot, the sun. But as we came down lower to the park, it was always cooler and cooler there. The children felt it too, you know. And so we came home afterwards, you know, in the hot sunshine. And it was nothing but a tall when we came down to the park, then, but just playing with their toys, I think. Some toys, beads, and dresses for dolls and things like that, you know. I remember on the time you come and give them some supper. Yeah, then you come and brought the supper for them town or something like that, you know. And I think it was just about the same that they stayed together in the same room, but they were not so together like some children like to fight for all this, but they liked the thing so much. Deborah used to be always alone someplace without thinking and thinking all the time, deep thoughts in her orbs, you know, always thinking, dreaming in her thoughts all the time. While Rachel was rather talk, you know, talk to me, Sam talked to me most of the time. And then after I put him to bed, why, you know, they were awfully quiet children. As soon as I put them right down to bed, you know, why, they'd lay and never a sound from each, not a word or sound that you put them to bed. Mm-hmm. And while the children, you know, they cry and cry for about 3 hours before they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, while these were quiet as soon as you put them to bed, you know, and, but Robin was a little different. Robin, when she was about a year old, she was a little different. I don't know, maybe she was teething at the time. Because I remember that it took from about 9 o'clock, way till midnight before she fell asleep. So I used to lift her up and carry her and see what it was. Sure enough, what Deborah come home, it's a wonder, she said, because they're teething. She's teething. Yeah, that's what hurts her right here and around the ears that hurts them. So when she was teething, well, Deborah had to go to a dancing school and work the next night, so I went and put her down to bed about 9 o'clock, while Deborah's friend lives across the hallway there, and she came in for once a while to look at her, see what it was, because she had children of her own, you know, better than I did. So she says, I'll see if I can make her sleep for you. Well, it wasn't so easy either, she said, because I think she's teething or something, because she screams out all of a sudden once a while. The teeth must hurt her or something. And then she says, finally she got her to sleep in about an hour's time herself then. And she slept very good for me in the afternoon. And she slept for me away until it was about 8 o'clock to breakfast time. Always, I didn't have to trouble otherwise with it. Just the teething part, you know.
You want to say hello to Robin and Deborah? You can say hello and, you know, just talk right straight to them.
Oh,
whatever you'd like to say.
Hello, Robin. Robin, why, I'd like to see you. I wonder how you're looking now, probably big girl now.
9 years old.
9 years old now? My goodness, you must be a very big girl now. I'm so glad I could talk to you, Robin. Such a long distance like this is. And, is Deborah home?
Uh-huh.
Well, hello, Deborah. How are you getting along? I didn't see her for a long time. I found out that Elmer was coming back here.
Deborah's going to have a baby in October.
Oh, I found out you're going to have a baby in October. Ain't that fine? No wonder you're not around this year. That's just what I thought it was. Well, you know, I can't wait till I see your baby. I just like to find out when you're coming here.
Well, with
so I could see a baby, you know.
We'll have to go out there.
We have to go way out there to see the baby.
Would you drive with me out there,
there? Would you be?
Yes, I drive with Myrtle. I drive out there with Myrtle. I just love to drive with her down to the grocery stores once a week and see all the sights and traffic in the effort of the weather. It's so hot, you know, that I just enjoy it in the car. It seems to be cool.
Maybe next spring we can drive. You'll go with me. Maybe next spring we can drive out there.
Maybe next spring we could drive out there.
That'd be wonderful.
That'd be wonderful. To your place, Deborah.
Okay.
Right out in California.
Now we return to that Thursday evening at the Ben and Betty Tilson's further conversation about children going to bed.
She gets about half as much attention as she needs when she's
sick. She looks so damn
healthy.
She's kind of sick
right
now. What has this been?
Last
year, 40
pounds,
yes. It is? Oh, I thought it couldn't be an organic thing.
That's right.
Is that right?
And the kids,
they said they brought it from Florida.
Right. The kids
in
the picked it up someplace
else. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you watch that one, it's warm sending up. I think so.
I heard that they make the best glass in the country here. When I was in Detroit.
Is that
about 2 weeks ago. You were gone. We were worried about you.
Oh, I heard that.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
I can sit over there for 4 weeks and I don't hear from anybody.
Oh, well,
I
didn't know.
But yeah, she gets this, she said you were going to Fargo and that you should have arrived here about that day.
I did, right?
Yeah. So he said, but she's growing up and she wishes she'd known enough to get in out of a tornado, but who, So then we said, what should we do? She said, what should I do? She looked so terrible when she left.
I looked terrible?
Yeah, she said your legs were swollen. And
I didn't know she looked at me, you see?
Yeah, you don't know.
So what did Kenny do about the
test? Oh, so Kenny said.
Wait, it's okay, he said. Tell her the whole story.
Well, I didn't, I was...
We wanted that a little children came up to Kenny. Tell her about the baby. Oh, yeah. Heather was holding the baby yesterday. That's what it was. And Kenny says, I'll hold it. She had to do something. I mean, I think I was about 95% asleep on the couch.
Kenny said, I'll hold him.
I'll hold him. Yeah, and,
So then, who was it, David?
No.
Judy?
No,
it
was Judy.
Yeah, Judy said,
What did you say,
Daddy? And he said, I don't know, where did I ask Ben? Ben. Joshie was born. You and Bob came you know, we were living upstairs. And Bob was sitting in the couch there at the window, and he was looking out the window. And pointed, you know, south. Is that Mendota? Is that the Mendota Bridge? My God, I remember the time when then he got lost somewhere along the line. I said, it's a nice view. Yeah, but there aren't any trees. My God, where are all the trees? And I said, well, he said, you can't see the trees. You got to
see across the river. You've done.
Yeah, I guess so. Go on.
Oh, the reverse of the situation that exists in our work. In other words, where we have electrons with a negative charge and the nucleus with a positive charge, there can and does exist electrons with a positive charge and a nucleus with a negative charge, just the reverse, so that when the one meets the other, they annihilate each other. You see?
They call it negative matter.
Well, yes.
That's another matter.
This is another.
Well, that was the
opposite. There's all sorts of revolutionary things.
Well, the opposite.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the reversal of the law of that's referred to in this article. This is something else.
Oh, it's
tremendously revolutionary, that the law of similarities.
These physicists, I mean, a lot of physicists had come up against these contradictions, you know, in these theories before. And they couldn't, there was nothing they could do about it. They used to say, well, they just ignore it. They knew it was there, but they'd ignore it. And then, through some studies or other, they, yeah, that's true.
No, I'm just listening.
True. Then these guys came up with some phenomenal,
Well, it isn't exactly phenomenal. It's just that they looked at reality and they said, well, if this isn't so, then that must be so, even if it can't be. It's got to be. And then further examination reveals that it is. In other words, that the right and the left hand aren't exactly the same as each other, except right hand and left hand. They're actually different with relationship to certain things in subatomic particles. And, of course, if it's true there, then it begins to challenge a whole chain of reasoning up and down the whole universe. It's fabulous. Anyway, I think you should read this, but I would definitely want to promise that I get back, because I can't...
Mind, you're not convinced by arguments.
Well, what this article does is set out the outline...
What?
You read this?
Yeah.
I just had looked down here and it says, I and mine do not convince by arguments, similes, rhymes. We convince by our presence.
Quite so, Watts.
Our presence includes everything.
Yeah.
Including no right and left and negative and matter.
It's really something.
It is.
Well, you see, we're with following this. These, for example, now, these are Claude Chamber photographs.
That looks like an abstract model.
Isn't that so?
Now, these are photographs of submicroscopic particles, that is, of subatomic sized particles. They are the photographs of bubbles left in tracks of bubbles created in a chamber of very clear liquid. They use a liquid of solid propane. Propane is a gas, and in a solid state, it's liquid state. It's very, very cold. It's so cold that all of its own molecular action is practically eliminated. You know, all matter is in motion, except at close to absolute zero, which is a theoretical temperature, somewhere around minus 230 degrees Fahrenheit. So the result is that any action that they get any traces of is what they introduce into it. And by use of the cyclotron and other devices to selectively accelerate the motion of matter, which they project into this chamber, they get these tracks.
Oh.
And these are pictures of the collision of negative and positive matter, for example, and things like that. And the article explains how they computed the number of times these collisions occur, that is, the frequency of the existence of these types of matter. And this begins to give us laymen.
These times it just doesn't pay to be quoted directly.
That's wrong, Pat. Well, no one's going to pay you. This is not, this is just your love.
Oh, just for love?
It doesn't pay a thing.
Love to you, Jim. Let her fly, Mary.
Is it open?
It's open. It's open
tonight.
I do
want to say,
either way, Barn. I do want to say hello to you and Debbie Burney, and to wish you, as you well know, the very best of everything. I'm really tickled. I get a real bang out of you kids getting back together again, and the baby and all, and I hope that all three of you will be real happy, all four of you soon.
Yeah.
All four.
Let's see. Now, I should say something about our new baby. She is blue-eyed, and she's going to have dark hair, and we still don't know who she looks like.
Looks like Betty.
She looks like me. And she's very, very good, and we love her very much, and the children are crazy about her.
Yeah, they're real relaxed about her. Kids.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they all are real good too, and they all take care of her. It isn't like when the children are a little younger. See, Nikki's almost six, so even he's old enough to really understand how much difference there is between him and a baby. And it's working out real good all the way around.
But we think of you all the time. I mean, I do.
Well, we can't help thinking of you all the time, right?
Yeah.
Now your Christmas
you're
present,
looking right up
for which we ungraciously haven't thanked you.
Oh, yes. It's
hanging right over our head. We eat under it every day, and we enjoy it very much.
It's such a lovely land.
Well, Paul,
you
have to
see, and now you have to pull it up, you know.
I just got out of the reach temporarily while we're working.
Oh, you mean you can lower it?
Yeah.
It's
just hanging on it.
It's a lovely
light. Nikki keeps fiddling with it.
Now listen, stop it. I want to say something to Jeff.
Don't talk already.
All these Batinskis. In October. That's a lovely time to have a baby. And I wish you best of everything and love and luck. Life and happiness. We wish you were here tonight. We had wine and fruit and lots of good talk. And Merida looks great. And on Labor Day, I'll be thinking of you all.
So now, Deborah, you've heard the collision of matter, the positive and the negative. The conservation of strangeness. You and Bernie must get that article that Ben was speaking about that's in the July Scientific American on this positive and negative splitting of the particles of the atom. It's really a fabulous and strange conclusion to our ideas of matter. Of course, I apply it to humans as well. And I think that our great foliating family shows the collision of matter, of the positive and the negative, and the conservation of strangeness. I've been having some strange experiences this last spring. We've had a number of curious collective get-togethers with Jean and Ellie, and they've been quite curious experiences. I'll play you little pieces of them. We had first the Trinidad Calypso players here, and we had two or three days and nights of hootenannies, of improvising and just being together. It was really a strange thing for all of us. Then we had Walter Lowenfels, who did a great thing for us all here, brought us all together and gave us a curious sense of poetry and of trying to get poetry out. And then we had Sonny Terry and McGee were strangely here with the company of Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. And we had several hootenannies with them, which were very beautiful. Sonny Terry, you know, is the one who plays those harmonicas, and he's behind all of the early Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie music. A great, great person, and I think a great musician. He just plays on these 10-cent harmonicas, and I think that he's brother to Bartok. I'll play you just a few of his recordings. Then I've been recording all the old socialists, and believe me, that is a great experience. I was up in Dakota, and I'm going again Friday to get down the rest of them. I'm supposed to have a book finished by September, a sort of edited book of the stories told by themselves. But their spirit and their memory and their tremendous vitality there in the furrow is really fabulous. By the way, I hear Elmer is returning, but he says he doesn't want to live in Colfax with a fuse box on the second floor. So, first I'm going to play some of the calypso music. There was a woman drummer, and she was terrific. We drummed all night one night, and oh, practically every night the young flock stayed up. But we had a splendid time, and one night she made a tremendous drumming. I haven't, it was down at the Ryan Hotel where they strangely appeared. But this, improvisations that we had one night. This is Sonny Terry and McGee. I forgot to announce it at the beginning.
I'm
An old organizer telling his story.
He came home. Mother asked him, "How's everything? How's everything outside?" "Oh," he says, "Frank has been up there and spoiled a whole bunch of them." He was sore about that. And my father and I, we used to, after that, we used to argue out in the field. And mother had to come out and take off her headcloth and wave it in the air and holler to us to remind us of our duty to the soil. We stand there and talk to him. He argued his principle. He says, "Never mind school." He said, "Be a self-made man, like a Snatzinger." That was a fellow that was married to a squaw that was a she was all right. This is no disgrace to her. But he had a squaw for a wife. He was the super on the Sandy Lake Dam for the government. I was supposed to go there and work on that dam, but I went to Dakota. My brother, my father was working up there. And my brother John went up there. But father would have rather had me up there, see.
He wanted you to be like him, huh?
Yeah, he said, you want to be like Snetzinger, see. Self-made man. Self-made men are the best, see. but he had the wrong angle on that to Claude Moore, and trying to be a self-made man, you had to have some education.
Well, when you saw your mother waving her kiss, would you all start to work again?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I knew that. I hated to stand there and lying, you know, but father had stopped and I had to stop too. And we worked hard all the time. Yeah, but we argued all the time. He never agreed with me on a darn thing, never.
Did your mother ever come to see some of your ideas?
She wasn't much on that order. She liked us boys, you know. But another thing, just to show you how things were. My youngest brother, oh gosh, he was, I'm going to show you the picture. I think it's
not. The youngest brother.
We went up to the 4th of July Indian dances that last 3 days and three nights. And I tell you, I've seen all the male dances, I think, of this time, and I've never seen such remarkable dancing. They were there from Oklahoma, from Wyoming, from Canada. And they danced almost without stopping for 3 days and three nights. I went up with Abby, Natalie's sister. Now I'm going to play this, the rest of it. This next one, you can hear the dancers with the bells on their feet. They never change the basic drum beat, although after you listen to it for two or three days, you begin to hear variations of the tonal quality. But they believe that it's a sin to syncopate the drum beat. But the dancers then syncopate upon the drum, and the singers play upon the drum basic drum beat. The women carry on the basic drum beat very, very severe and unbroken, and the men dance around them, making all kinds of didos and quite complicated arrangements. Sounds like a Jewish cantor.